You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action on both sides of the Irish Sea. A fabulous day in store at the Curra where the feature race is the Irish 1000 Guineas. We'll be looking ahead to that race in depth a little bit later on, plus the other Group 1 on the card as well, the Tattersalls Gold Cup. Meanwhile, it's all jumps action in the UK with Kelso, Uttoxeter and Fontwell on the agenda. We'll be looking at races from Kelso and Uttoxeter. My name is Sam Norris and Craig Forsyth joins me on today's edition of the podcast. Hello, Craig.
Good afternoon, Sam.
How are you? Are you well?
Yep, very well, thanks.
A torrential downpour that we're experiencing at the moment, Craig, and it's made the punting a little bit difficult this week because it's coming on to what was quick ground everywhere.
Yeah, it's a bit of a lottery, isn't it? You know, you're trying to look at what you think the ground will be. Some places aren't getting it as bad as others, and you're just looking for every possible angle in to try and gain an advantage in terms of prices, in terms of what horses you think may be withdrawn because of a change in ground conditions, and it certainly doesn't make it any easier.
Yeah, indeed. It doesn't always adjust in a perfect way either. When you do get rain onto fast ground, it often makes the ground a little bit weird in a way. It doesn't always revert straight away to good ground or soft ground. It becomes a bit, it can get tacky, it can get sticky. Heavy rain on fast ground always seems to throw up
dangerous, isn't
more,
it?
Yeah, more problems than if it was rain on good ground for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, let's hope it's just it's forecast for the next 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Let's hope it starts to clear up again after that, because it certainly isn't going to make it very easy at all in terms of a bet over the next few days.
Indeed, we still have plenty of good racing though on Saturday, and we'll look back at some of the star performers. Got to start at Haydock. Got to start with Harry Angel, Craig, who was a really, really impressive winner of the Sandy Lane Stakes. A horse that really looks as though he's going places. He's been installed as the 7-2 second favourite now for the Commonwealth Cup at Royal Ascot, behind Caravaggio, who remains even money. Very impressive performance today, Craig. The horse looks as though he's taken another step forward and would have to have a live chance in the Commonwealth Cup.
Big chance for me. I think that race will definitely suit his style. I mean, one thing he did today was settle a little bit better in his race than he has been doing. You don't want to see him to lose his enthusiasm entirely. You know, he's an exuberant character.
Yeah.
And you want to see that little bit of buzziness in a sprinter. But I think, you know, a flat out 6 furlongs in the Commonwealth Cup will really suit Harry Angel. I think the race is tailor-made for him. I think he's a top-notch sprinter. It was a really good performance today. He had his field strung out from an early stage and never looked like getting beat throughout the race. So a big player. He obviously blew point to beat him last time.
Indeed,
you know, is going to be a rival. And he's got a tough nut to crack in the favourite as well, Caravaggio.
Sure.
So once again, this is shaping up to be a really good renewal of the Commonwealth Cup. And since the introduction of this race, there's been nothing but positives to say about it.
We've not been disappointed by it, have we, as a new race coming to the calendar? There was always going to be a couple of sceptics, but it's produced some terrific fields and some really good races.
It was always difficult for three-year-old sprinters, wasn't it? But the introduction of this race has really helped. And it looks like we're in for yet another exciting renewal. But Harry Angel, for me, the most likely winner. At 7-2, I think he's a real top-notch sprinter with a big future.
Even money Caravaggio, 7-2, Harry Angel, 9-2 for Blue Point. Lady Aurelia is 8-1 and 12's bar for the Commonwealth Cup. Another winner at Haydock then to mention on Saturday was Priceless, who won the Temple Stakes. Slightly less eye-catching fashion, but a good performance nonetheless from the Clive Cox horse.
Yeah, kicked nicely clear at a crucial stage of the race. Put a couple of lengths between himself and his rivals, and for a sprinter over 5 furlongs, that was a crucial gap for any horse to make up. Gold Dream, who's bounced back to form in the Palace House Stakes, again, has run really well. I would imagine they're obviously going to try and win the King's Stand again with him. A great run for Tom Morley. and Robert Cowell. Mm. And Alpha Delfini, you know, is another one who's come from off the pace, but Priceless showed great speed. And Clive Cox, what a great day and a great double for him.
Yeah, indeed. Nice win by Priceless then in the Temple Stakes. Across the Irish Sea then, we couldn't not mention Churchill, who landed the Irish 2,000 guineas, completing a double for that horse in the English and the Irish version. One for Aidan O'Brien. Again, Craig, this is something I heard you mention a little bit earlier on Racing Radio. Not a flashy performer, never travels really sweetly into his races, never looks all that eye-catching, but at the end of the day, he keeps winning races, and that is what the game's all about, and he's won again.
Yeah, there was a brief moment where you thought he was never really travelling at the Curra, but Ryan's edged them forward into the race, and from, you know, thinking that, maybe not today, that he's the only horse that looks like, you know, pulling away and winning, he was quickly on top of the Godolphin horse, and he's ran all the way to the line from there. He is a hard horse to warm to for me. You know, I've never really been taken by him, but how do you knock his record?
Indeed.
You know, he's obviously going
to
turn up.
It seems very harsh to criticise him, doesn't
it? Yeah, it is. It seems stupid to criticise him.
Yeah.
Because he's won two guineas now. Yeah. And
I do know what you mean, though, just with his style. He doesn't light the fire, does he?
And he's a Royal Ascot winner as well
exactly,
from last year. You know,
as a
2-year-old. So he's a hard one to knock, but he's never going to blow you away, really, is he?
Yeah, 4-5 now for the St. James Palace Stakes. Barney Roy could well head there as well, 9-4. Albuquerque is 9-2. We had a cracking renewal of this race last year, Craig, when we saw three guineas winners meeting. It doesn't look as though it's going to be that competitive this year. Does Churchill have to be odds on for this race, I suppose?
Probably does.
Yeah,
the prices are probably right, 4-5. Barney Roy, 9-4. Many will fancy Barney Roy.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, after what happened at Newmarket in the 2,000 guineas, many will fancy him to turn around the form, but is it enough value at 9-4?
Skinny enough, isn't it?
You know, Churchill's had another run since then and proved himself to be in, you know, the top of his game, and I've give up trying to take him on, to be honest.
Right.
There'll be a race I'll be swerving. Sam, you know, I think he can put another one beside his name for me, and I'll watch and without a bet, but I can see why people would want to be with Barney Roy at 9-4 for sure.
Fair enough. A horse who is very easy to warm to, Craig, Gordon Lord Byron, who's won again as well on Saturday, wins a Group 2. The rain probably came at an ideal time for him, but what a horse to own. He just seems to be an absolutely prolific winner and has performed all over the world.
He has. You know, just as people began to write him off a little bit as he is advancing in years, you know, the rain comes down and he gets to the front and goes and produces a performance like that.
Yeah.
A very, very likable horse.
May well have had it all to do if Acapulco had ran. But you can only beat what's in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been keen to take Acapulco on.
Would you?
I took him on her return.
Oh, okay.
To action. She's by Scat Daddy.
Mm.
And she was the first horse by Scat Daddy to win at the age of 4.
Oh, really?
So for me, it looked like the progeny didn't really train on to age. But, you know, she was in foal when she ran. First time back. She did the job well, but I was going to have another go trying to get a beat.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, she didn't take part and made it obviously slightly easier for Gordon Lord Byron.
Okay, good stuff. Anything else caught the eye over the last few days, Craig, before we move on to take a look at some of Sunday's racing?
Oh, there was a couple on Saturday for sure. Bless them. In the 3:10 at Goodwood, didn't get any sort of run. Typical Goodwood race when you get caught in that pocket on the inside of the track, I think is a little bit unlucky. And the strides he was putting in, and the closing stages was eye-catching. I think from his mark, he was £5 out the handicap.
Yeah.
I'm interested, certainly, to see where the handicapper goes with him in terms of whether he brings him up, considering, you know, the performance he's produced from a higher mark today. Will be interesting to see what he does, but he was a massive eye-catcher. And one from Friday night was the other one, Mick Easterby's horse, Alias, who missed the kick at Musselburgh. You know, when you've got that much ground to make up, round a sharp bend like Musselburgh's difficult, but you know, he wasn't beaten all that far in the end. And, you know, I think he's a surefire future handicap winner.
Okay, good stuff. Let's move on then to Sunday's racing. Both sides of the Irish Sea covered. We'll begin with the Group 1 races at the Curra then. A couple of cracking races coming up at the Curra. Starting with the 220, which is Tattersall's Gold Cup, over 1.25 miles. This is a Group 1, and 8 of them down to contest this year's renewal. A show of betting at the time recording sees Deauville and Moonlight Magic, the 7-2 joint favourites. 4-1 for Success Days. Decorated Knight is 5-1 with Somehow. Johannes Vermeer 6-1, and then 50-1 for Reckless Golden, 100-1 about Gentile Jay. What do you make of this year's renewal of this race, Craig? It looks fairly open on paper, albeit there's no absolute superstar in there.
He isn't, Sam, and I'm keen to take on, you know, a couple at the head of the market. Deauville, for one. I mean, he got the run on the race a little bit at Chester last time.
Definitely, definitely.
Getting to the front. Portwood was putting in big late strides in that race. But Ryan Moore, you know, got the fractions absolutely spot on from the front. The ground was in his favour. And he is a son of Galileo that moves really well on top of the ground. He skips over it. Obviously, the rain that's fallen in Ireland, you know, I think it will be against Deauville. And I would want to be against them. For that reason, as Decorated Knight is another that I think, you know, the rain is against.
Yeah.
So when you look at the prices, 7-2 and 5-1, you know, they take a little bit out the book here. Moonlight Magic should go well, but, you know, I wasn't all that keen on his chances, to be honest. I think the ones I like certainly are the 2 Aidan O'Brien runner, Somehow.
Yeah.
Who is in good form of late, finished fourth behind Ripchester at Newbury last time. Was slightly disappointing in that race. Had won a 2 races prior to that. I think she's definitely a big player. And the one, you know, that would probably get my vote here is Johannes Vermeer.
Mm.
You have to go a little bit back, you know, in the form book in years, or certainly a couple of years,
yeah,
to see, you know, how good he was, particularly on soft ground. Finished second at Doncaster in the Racing Post Trophy to Martial, and then went on and won a Group 1 following that. Obviously, it hasn't been plain sailing since. We've only seen the horse on 2 occasions. Shaped okay, I thought, when finishing 4th of 4 behind Minden last time. Wasn't knocked about.
Yep.
Looked like they'd left a fair bit to work on. The ground has very much came in his favour. So I would favour him just to get the better of Somehow here.
Okay, Johannes Vermeer, the selection then. And with the rain in Ireland, there's been a bit of money for Johannes Vermeer as well. 6-1 in from 8-1 as we record this for the Tattersalls Gold Cup. We stay at the Curragh then for their feature race of the day, which comes up at 3:25. It's the fillies who take centre stage here for the Irish 1,000 guineas racing over a mile. And the English guineas winner, Winter, is the 4-5 market leader. 11-2 for Rahana. Hydrangea is 8-1. Anine, 9-1. 14-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. And Winter is a horse, Craig, who won the English version of the Guineas very impressively. And we've seen that Churchill's doubled up on Saturday. Do you think it'll be another double for Aidan O'Brien?
Could well do, but there's got to be some concern with the ground conditions,
yeah,
of 4-5. I mean, I've played all these races back. I mean, looking at the first 4 in the market here, I don't think Hydrangea will be good enough. I think this is a few fillies improved past her.
Yeah.
So I've played, obviously, quite a few races back from the other 3, Winter, Rahana and Anine. And for me, trying to gain clues from the way the 3 horses move and looking,
yeah,
at their action, all 3 are fairly fluent movers. And all 3 would have concerns over the ground.
Right.
So, you know, you come back to the best horse. You know, if that's the case, don't you? If you've got concerns over,
yeah,
all,
sure,
of them, and Winter, you have to say, was a really impressive,
definitely,
winner of our 1,000 guineas. I was, you know, more taken by her certainly winning the 1,000 than Churchill winning the 2,000.
Yeah, I think I'd agree.
And it was a really good performance, but there's no getting away from the underfoot conditions is of concern, but she's the best horse for me, 4-5. You know, I can see why people may want to take her on, but I've got to stick with the class element here, and I think she could win. One at a bigger price to throw into the mix now the ground's turned, that could run well and could surprise as Aidan O'Brien's other on a roly-poly.
Yeah.
If there was to be a big turn-up, that could be the one at 16-1.
Okay. Winter the selection then. Keep an eye on roly-poly as well at a big price for the Irish 1,000 guineas, but Craig sticking with Winter. We move back to the UK then for a couple of races now, starting at Kelso with their 3:15. A handicap hurdle coming up here at Kelso over a trip of 2 miles. Just the 6 go down to post, but a couple of these arrive in the race in winning form, Craig.
Home sweet home.
Yeah.
Certainly close to home anyway,
yeah.
Sam. At Kelso. Yeah, the final meeting of the season,
right,
as well.
Okay.
So I wish them luck at Kelso. Fortunately, I'll be down in Leeds tomorrow, so I won't get there. Yeah, good little handicap here. Last time out winner, Sudski Star, who got the better of Weapon of Choice. Weapon of Choice looked all over him approaching the last on that occasion. He wrapped the final flight of hurdles, but Weapon of Choice is a horse that never finds a great deal off the bridle. And Sudski Star got back up to get the better in the closing stages. He's only gone up £3 for that win. I think good ground's key. Keep an eye on the weather for his chances. But I think this Crackle Dust is definitely a horse that still has plenty of scope for further improvement. I'm actually a little bit surprised to see him still on the go at this stage of the season.
Right.
Given, for me, that he's going to make a much better horse over fences next year than he's done over hurdles this year. He's only rated 117. I think, you know, once he goes over a fence, he'll be 130 plus.
Right.
But I do think he's been well placed here. And the fact that he is still on the go suggests that they are still obviously still looking to win over hurdles with him. So off a mark of 117, I think Crackle Dust could be the one to side with. And you wouldn't have too many concerns if the rain got into the ground at Kelso with him as well, where there's a few in this race, you know, would be disadvantaged with any rainfall. But Crackle Dust, very versatile regards underfoot conditions.
Yeah, definitely handy to have that on your side. Craig sticking with the Brian Ellison runner then in the 3:15 race at Kelso. As we get to Utoxa for the final race on today's podcast, this is the 4:15 there, feature race of the day at 2.5 mile. Chase coming up here, a class 2 heat which has attracted 7 runners and a good looking race coming up here, Craig.
It is, but of the 7, how many will actually line up?
That it could well cut up a little bit.
It could well cut up. Yeah. I mean, you've got a lot of good ground horses here and it's a real puzzle, this race. I mean, Henryville, who's in the form of his life, a horse that hasn't always found a great deal off the bridle but is thriving at present. Come through to beat the likes of Ballyboley last time at Newton Abbot off a decent pace, but if the rain was to get into the ground off a mark of 1.53, you know, it would be a different test for him. Days of Heaven won well at Stratford last time. I think this is a much better race, and I think he still needs to be quicker over his fences, Days of Heaven. I think his jumping can improve. Ballyboley isn't the biggest horse, but he's quite an athletic type. You know, you'd be a little bit concerned about the ground. A Little Magic steps up in class a little bit here. He's gone up £8 in the weight. I'm thinking I want to be with the outsider of the field here if it does turn soft, Valadom.
Right.
You know, if the rain does arrive and it places more of an emphasis on stamina, Valadom is a horse that gets a little bit further and he could be one just to take a chance with at a very, very big price. You know, you will be 12, 14 to 1.
Yeah.
Obviously, if there's non-runners, you will shorten accordingly. But he could be one just to take a chance with because, you know, we think it'll turn pretty soft.
Yeah.
There's rain forecast throughout the country, real thundery showers. He could surprise in this race.
Craig then taking a chance with Valadom in the feature race at Utoxa, then there 4:15. Thank you very much for that, Craig. Could you just recap your selections, please, of the 4 races we've looked at on Sunday?
Yeah, in the 2:20 at the Curragh, we're going with Johannes Vermeer for Aidan O'Brien. In the 3:25, Winter to add another guineas to her name. In the 4:15 at Utoxeter, we're going with Valdom to spring a surprise. And then moving up north to Kelso, hopefully Crackle Dust can win the 3:15.
Excellent stuff. The thoughts of Craig Forsyth then ahead of Sunday's racing. You can hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with myself, Sam Norris, joined by Kevin O'Malley and John Budden for the racing at Kelso, Utoxeter, Fontwell and the Curragh. Thanks for that, Craig, and best of luck.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.